Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Safi Bros podcast. We are available on all podcast platforms and YouTube every second Friday at 3 p.m. We are excited to introduce another episode from Turkey with the amazing Dr. Tariq Al-Swaydan.
Many people could not take the shock and they became part of this corrupt society. I decided to isolate myself from that.
He is a renowned Islamic author, speaker, and businessman. He is ranked amongst the 500 most influential Muslims for the three consecutive years of 2022 to 2024. We are excited to share Dr. Tariq's early life journey from Kuwait to the US, his education, and his blessed achievements. You do not want to miss this amazing story with lessons that inshallah will motivate you and inspire you to do more.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan Ahmad, ahlan Ibrahim. It's a pleasure to be with you and your audience throughout the world.
Allah khalina yak.
Thank you for accepting my honor
at any time.
Sheikh, I'd love to start, inshallah, your childhood and how you ended up in the US. born and bred in Kuwait, you said?
Born in Kuwait, yeah, I'm a Kuwaiti.
MashaAllah. Can you take us through that journey? How was it born in Kuwait and then going to a Western country like the US? And what drove you to do that? And where leadership
I just finished writing my life story.
MashaAllah.
And it ended up in 60 chapters.
Allahu Akbar. And more to come, inshallah.
And 500 pages.
Allahu Akbar.
So you want that in how many minutes?
As much as we can, inshallah.
I think we'll just have the highlight. I think it's amazing. Our brothers and sisters that watch the podcast are looking for the highlights and the tough times that you've gone through. Because subhanAllah, we notice our brothers and sisters get motivated by seeing the struggles our brothers and sisters have gone through. And what are the formulas or the ideas that you have in your life that kept you going and not giving up? And
okay.
How much of a vision you have as a, you know, subhanAllah, like, these are the things that we really would love to flesh out.
So I was born in Kuwait, and Kuwait at that time had no oil.
No oil.
No oil. So it was a very, very poor country.
Wow.
We had no electricity.
Wow.
I was raised in a house, there was no electricity. And we had no water.
Wow.
The water would be brought by ships from Iraq.
Allah.
And we had a well inside our guard, in the yard. And that well has water that is not drinkable. So it was a little saltish. So that's what we use for cleaning.
Wow.
But for drinking, we had to wait for the water that comes from Iraq. There were only two schools in Kuwait at that time. Two elementary schools. No high school. So you want to know the struggle?
That's so you can't handle absolutely nothing.
Nothing. And the whole family lived on about $60 a month. Okay, so it's not a rich family. It's not a literate family. My parents are illiterate. They don't know how to read or write. It's not a scholarly family. There are no scholars, and it's not a religious family.
Wow.
Okay. So
how many siblings?
Huh?
How many brothers and sisters?
I have, my siblings are five. I have two sisters that are older than me, and then the three brothers that are younger than me.
Oh, wow.
So I was the eldest
of the boys.
Male.
Of the boys, yeah.
And I'm an orphan, so I was, since I was early on, almost in charge of the family.
SubhanAllah.
So that's how I was raised.
So you were raised to be the rijal of the house.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was.
At what age did you feel like you were the man of the
always.
House?
Always. Always. I was always independent. Never I had anyone look after me or my cleanliness or my studies or my homework. Never.
Where did that come from?
From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, I really don't know. But yani, I think it's part of it, definitely. I mean, all of it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But definitely part of it is of the circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in. I mean, if you live in such a situation, the family has nothing, and you are the eldest, you have to compete. You have to prove yourself. Yes. So I... I was good in my studies. So in high school, I was the number two on the whole country.
Wow.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so they gave me a scholarship to America to study whatever I want.
Whatever you wanted?
Whatever I want. It's my choice. So that's sometimes our circumstances pushes us into becoming in a certain situation that opens doors, opens opportunities.
Yes, yes, yes.
So that, of course, opened a huge door. Anyway, so it's a long story, but so I went to America when I was 17 years old. And I stayed in America 17 years.
On your own?
Yes.
So you had to leave your family?
I had to leave my family.
And how was that? What kind of, like, you being the oldest, looking after them, how did that make you feel?
See, I had a very strong mother, although she was illiterate. So I was hesitant to leave.
Yeah.
And I decided not to leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, although I had this opportunity and this scholarship, but I didn't want to leave. My mother pushed me to leave. She said, you have to leave. It's not your choice.
Wallahi, nothing is out there without great women. Wallahi, nothing is there without great women. Without
our
mothers, wallahi.
Wallahi. So that's what happened. And so I had to listen to my mom. And I went to the States. So the program there they sent me to was a very special program. Because although I finished high school, the program was that I take the last year of high school again.
Wow.
But in America.
In America. Did you know English at that time?
Very little. very little English.
Which state? Which?
I went to Florida.
Florida.
Yeah. So I went to a small city called Lake Worth, and I was in Lake Worth High School. The reason they did it that way, now they changed. Now they send them to English institutes. But at that time, the way they taught us English was by pushing us into going into high school. So because the educational system is so different from ours. So they have a semester system. I've never seen a semester system in my life. And you can choose your courses. I've never heard of that, etc. So. And then, of course, we're not used to the American life, American style.
How was that cultural dynamic?
Well, it was a huge shock, of course. Many people could not take the shock, and they became part of this corrupt society.
Mm.
I decided to isolate myself from that.
How?
So I would go to the high school. I never mingled with them.
At all?
At all. So I wouldn't go to parties. Even the graduation I didn't go to.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, so whenever I have free time, I go to my room, I read Quran or study or...
Was that lonely? Was that lonely for you? Like, was that hard for you to be by yourself?
Wallahi, I am never lonely. I never felt lonely in my life.
Why is that?
Because you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Now, Allah, Allah Akbar. There are people who feel lonely and sad and they cry for themselves. I have something. If you want to know me, every one of us have emotions and have logic or brain. And we have usually these two effects that control our life. I don't.
Wow.
My logic controls my emotions. So I am never emotional.
Wow.
Never, huh? I feel sad, but I'm not emotional.
How do you do that?
By controlling my emotion with my logic.
Wow. And that's something you've been working on since you were young?
It is something that I was born with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the ability to analyze, to think, and so on. And then I studied logic, and then I studied philosophy, I studied arithmetical logic. What is that?
Deep.
The basis for all sciences, all sciences is math. What is the basis for mathematics? It's logic.
Wow.
What is the basic basis for logic? It's arithmetic logic.
Allah, so that's the deepest you can go.
Yeah.
So if you study arithmetic logic and logic and math, then
you get into the complexity.
I have a PhD in petroleum engineering. And we studied the highest level of math. So we're talking four-dimensional, three-phase, thermal, differential equations, and so on. One equation will be three pages. So that's what I studied. So engineering had a huge effect on my life. If you study engineering correctly, then you don't learn engineering. What you learn is systems. If you study engineering correctly, then what do you study? You study systems. And that, if you do it correctly, then what you get is systematic thinking. And if you have systematic thinking, it opens all doors. You can study anything. So that's what I do. This is a quick background. Anyway, so I finished high school, and then alhamdulillah, I excelled also in high school in America. So I was accepted in Pennsylvania State University.
Did you plug into the community at all? Into the Muslim community there?
There was no Muslim community.
Nothing.
There were only four Muslims in the whole city.
Ya Allah.
And at that time, there were only seven masjids in the whole of America.
SubhanAllah.
Now there are thousands.
Thousands, mashallah. So you've seen that growth too.
Yeah, let me tell you a story. We were in a very small city called Lake Worth. And there were only four Muslims, all Kuwaitis. They all came with me.
Okay.
Yeah, so we came together to this city. So when I had time, we will go together. Wow. We're friends. Okay. So we don't mingle with this corrupt society. Because at that time, it was the sexual revolution.
Yes.
You, in your time, have seen nothing.
SubhanAllah.
Nothing compared to what we have seen at that time. You just don't imagine what goes on sexually inside the high school. I can't tell it. I can't say it. So that's what we had. So I cannot see. I cannot be part of that society. I had to keep apart. So anyway, there were no Muslims. Eid came. We wanted to celebrate Eid. So I called a friend of mine who knows the masjid. What's the closest masjid to us? We want to pray Eid. Not Salah. Eid. Huh? So he gave me. And the closest masjid to us was 2 hours by train.
2 hours by train.
Yeah. So
you were quite fine.
Yeah, so we went. There was nothing. Remember, this was 1970. Yeah? So there was nothing. So we went. We went to Eid in the masjid in Tampa, Florida, which is north of Florida. Small masjid, dirty, smelling. So anyway, so we prayed Eid with them. And they told us we have a picnic. So I said, okay, we'll go with you to the picnic. So we went to the picnic organized by the Muslim Student Organization.
Wow.
In the picnic. Everyone had his girlfriend with him.
Wow.
And they served beer.
Allahu Akbar.
And Dhuhr prayer came and nobody prayed.
Wow.
So you will know now the blessing of Allah. Many people complain, we are oppressed, we are whatever. You have seen nothing. This is what we have lived in.
SubhanAllah.
So that only strengthens you to be more resolute.
Ay, alhamdulillah.
Strength.
Of course, alhamdulillah. Yeah, not everyone, frankly. The scholarship was given to 50 in the whole country. So we went together. Three of them and myself went to Florida. The rest were distributed all over. 1 year later, none of them prayed except three.
Allah.
So that's how much the pressure there is. So not everyone was able to resist. Yeah. Yeah. Then I went to Pennsylvania State University. Alhamdulillah, yani I established the masjid there. There was nothing. Huh? So I started giving khutbah.
That was your first sort of public.
Yeah, yes.
Yes. How old were you then?
18.
Yeah,
yeah. 18 public. Guys, you listening? 18 public speaking. Get up and start doing some khutbas.
I had to give khutbah because everyone else can't. Absolutely can't. Yeah. And I myself also can't, but at least I was a little more knowledgeable than the rest. So I was on the first day, they asked us to take 4 engineering courses, and we can take 1 or 2 electives. What is electives? I've never heard of electives in my life. What? I mean, we have been always, somebody chose for me. Now, for the first time, I have to choose. So I knew nothing, frankly. So I was totally confused. So I was walking in Pennsylvania State University. It's a huge university, huge. At that time, it was 60,000 students. So it was a huge. And we had to live in the dorm. This is obligatory. And the dorm accommodates 20,000 students. So we're talking a huge city. So while I was walking, I saw a building, 4 stories. And written on it, College of Public Speaking. I said, what? I mean, you could expect a course of public speaking.
College?
Yeah, section of public speaking. It's a whole college of public speaking. And then later on, I found out that was the center of public speaking in the whole of America at that time. And even the politicians, because we were only about 4 hours from Washington, D.C., they would come and be trained in that college.
Wow.
To amaze you even more. So I took the course.
Of course. Yeah. Elective. Of course.
So that's how. That's the elective. That's the elective. And then I take another course. I took 2 electives of public speaking. So I was trained on public speaking for 8 months continuously. Before that, listen. I had to read from a paper and I was shaking. I didn't know how to speak. So you can learn it. This is a message.
This is a very, very important message, guys. So,
and it is one of the most important skills. And it is a leadership skill, by the way. It's one of the skills of the leaders. Anyway, the amazing thing, when I went to college, I went to my course on public speaking. Sometimes I would see an old lady, 84 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, in the class next to us. She's taking public speaking. 84.
84.
And the more amazing thing is I saw parents with 6-year-old kids bringing their kids to this college of public speaking.
Wow.
Never too early, never too early.
I've seen this with my own eyes. Huh?
Yeah, that's one thing
we don't do that.
Ah, so this is amazing. Huh? So my life in Penn State was the whole story by itself. Yeah. And then during that time, I established the Arab Muslim Association in the whole of America. And alhamdulillah, it grew with time. So we started to have conferences. And alhamdulillah, it attracted all the Arab. So I created it because the Arabs were lost. There was some work among our brothers from Pakistan and Bangladesh and India, but among the Arabs there was nothing.
No representation.
Nothing. The only thing that was among the Arab was Arab nationalism, which was anti-Islam.
Yeah.
And it is still today anti-Islam.
Wow. What made you do that? What made you have the foresight?
I saw my friends lost. So I felt obligation. I have to do something.
Follow the line.
Yeah. So I started the Arab Muslim Association. And we called it the Arab Muslim. So we are not just Arabs. We are Arab Muslim Association. Wow.
Did you get any pushback? Did you get any?
Not really. Because there was a pushback from the Arab nationalists. Mm. They hated this.
Taking our guys.
Yeah, and there was, by the way, some pushback from the embassies.
Wow.
Yeah, they don't want any Islamic work among the students.
Wow.
Yes.
How did you combat? How was that?
You just continue.
Don't stop.
That is
the freight.
You don't look back. Don't let the resistance stop you. Just continue. Okay, I learned this later on from my sheikh. My sheikh is Dr. Yusuf Al-Qaradawi. So one day there was a book written against him, a whole book written against Sheikh Al-Qaradawi. So one of his students told him, Sheikh, there is a book written against you and you haven't answered. He said, I did. He said, really? Where did you write the answer? He said, I wrote a new book. That's my answer.
Keep going.
So keep going to continue. So alhamdulillah, we started this organization with 5 students. It grew. We started then the camps in Christmas, because sometimes in Christmas times, we don't go back to Kuwait and we have nothing to do. And the university is empty. So we decided to gather and make a camp. The first camp was 34 students.
And that was from all Arab nations, Saudi,
All nations. But mostly in the beginning, mostly Kuwaitis.
Mostly Kuwaitis. Yeah. So you were, Kuwait was the founder, was
predominantly. Kuwait is and was and still the most active in the Arab world, because we are number one in freedom. The freedom in Kuwait is more than Tunis, is more than Lebanon. Oh. Yeah, it's number one. Many people don't know this.
It's
not known in the community.
Yeah, Kuwait is the number one freedom in the whole Arab world. Free press. We have no censorship on press. There is no censorship on media. You say whatever you want. You write whatever you want. Even if you write something against the country or against Islam or what, you do it. And if anybody has a problem with that, they take you to court, not to the government.
Wow, amazing.
You can attack the government, and the government cannot do anything except to take you to court. So that's the system in Kuwait.
Amazing.
Yeah. So anyway, so because we were active, because we are free, and this is early on, many people don't know this. The first parliament in Kuwait was 1938.
1938. Is that when they found oil?
No, that's really? That's before oil. So this is Kuwait. Huh? So many people don't know this. Kuwait is different, really different. Yeah. The reason is the ruling family is really part of the society. It's not above society.
Mm.
And the reason for that, the way Kuwait was founded, is that some tribes migrated to Kuwait and settled there. And then when it started to grow, they decided we need a government. So they decided to choose among themselves a government. So they chose Al Sabah tribe. But they gave them conditions. You rule. But 2 things you cannot control. You cannot control trade. It's not in your hands. And you cannot control decisions. You have to consult with us.
Sure. Wow, sure.
That is 400 years ago.
Allahu Akbar.
And still going today. Yeah, so people love them and they love their people. We have no problems with our governments.
So if it wasn't for them, you would have never got the scholarship.
Right? No, of course.
they invested back in the people.
Yeah, of course.
They had the foresight for the future.
They sent scholarships before oil, before they found oil, because they knew that the road to progress starts with education. And the road to education is not to build education gradually, but to jump and teach your students the highest education that you can get in the world, not in your own country. So that's how they did it. And it was really very effective. Yeah, alhamdulillah.
We can see your proof that.
Allah, inshallah, ya tqabbal, ya Rabbi.
Alhamdulillah, we have recently passed 20,000 audio downloads, 20,000 followers on Instagram, and are just about to break the 20,000 on TikTok. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your support. We would love to ask you, if you are listening on Spotify or any audio platforms, please, please follow us and leave a rating. And if you are enjoying this episode on YouTube, please subscribe as it helps our content reach more people, allows you to get each episode as soon as it's released, and it expands our reach to more internationally renowned speakers. We have, alhamdulillah, seen amazing response from our audience, with our 5 most viewed episodes totaling over 150,000 views on YouTube. We have had the pleasure of hosting amazing international guests such as Yasser Qadi, the Sunnah Guy, and Sean King. And we would love to share more success stories of amazing brothers and sisters for you, our beloved audience. Now, back to the episode.
So anyway, so our organization was started with 5, and then we had the first camp with 34. In 5 years, we had a conference of 7,000. And we had a conference of 7,000.
Did you ever think you were going to get that big?
No.
Did you ever, were you
never.
In any way a visionary in that time as a young
no.
chap? Never had that big vision?
No.
Just plug.
Yeah.
That's it.
You were a doer.
See, you are a very lucky generation, because you have people like us teaching you strategic planning and vision,
yeah.
And how to set up an organization. We had nothing at that time. The word vision, I did not hear it until 20 years later. The word vision, the word creativity, the word leadership, we never heard. Never heard, huh? So your audience will know how lucky they are. Yeah, Akhwan, you don't know what was going on and what how much our ummah have progressed. Wallahi, huh? I remember this in 1969. This is 1 year before I went to America. I remember entering a masjid in Kuwait to pray. Wallahi, everyone was looking amazed. There is a young man entering the masjid. The masjid was only for those with white hair. Yeah. Wallahi.
Time to die.
Yeah. Now you enter the masjid, it's mostly young people. Yeah. I was the only one, huh?
Allah. What made you do? Was it your mom? Was it?
No, alhamdulillah.
Just had the feeling, you had the connect.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. What does that mean? If you want to go back to Allah, Allah is always there to accept you. But He always also says in that verse, but sometimes He chooses. He chooses somebody to pull them out. You don't have to go, He pulls you out. So Allah pulled me out.
Alhamdulillah.
So there was no reason. I started praying when I was 7. Nobody pushed me to that. I started fasting at 7.
Wow.
My mother refused that. It's, you're too young. So, but alhamdulillah. So that's what happened. So anyway, so our organization grew that way. Then it's a long story. Then I continued my studies later on in Oklahoma. Oklahoma is an oil state, and it is a very Bible Belt state, what they call it.
Was that your choice to go there?
I when I graduated from Penn State, Pennsylvania. Why Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania has the first oil well in the whole history. Yeah, the first oil drilled was in Pennsylvania. So that's why they have a very good college. But Pennsylvania, the oil drained out. So it is not an oil state anymore.
SubhanAllah.
And then oil was discovered in Texas and Oklahoma and Arizona. So these became the main oil states, even today. So Oklahoma had one of the best colleges of oil in the whole world. So they accepted me.
What did you do that because by that time they found oil in Kuwait or no?
Oh, the oil was found, yes, in Kuwait.
So that's why you specialized, you wanted to specialize.
Yes, yes. And then, so I went to Oklahoma to study petroleum engineering. And so in Oklahoma, alhamdulillah, I also established the masjid there. And then this is a nice story. I went to Oklahoma. They had a small house, not a masjid, a rented house. And it's a house. It's a three-bedroom house. That was the whole masjid. And people would pray Jum'ah in the street. And Oklahoma in the winter is very cold. So they would pray on snow. There's nothing. So I felt an obligation that I must do something. So I decided to expand the masjid. So anyway, wallahi, yeah. So your audience will know that you do whatever you can. And you be sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then you leave it. Tell us.
It's about money, getting money.
Yeah. So I say that we have no money. We have to get the money. So anyway, so I took the masjid and then okay, let's with a pencil, huh? I started to draw how to expand the masjid. And so at that time, I don't know how to build a house. I'm a petroleum engineer. I know what's under the ground, not above the ground.
SubhanAllah.
So I called a brother who knows how to build houses. Give me the estimation of how much it costs. So it said, if you do this and this, it will be about $80,000. I said, okay. Then I start to think, this is a lousy project because you're expanding something wrong. You don't expand something that is wrong. Start something
fresh.
Start fresh, yeah, from the foundation.
Then don't fix something that is wrong. So anyway, I said, no, forget about this. Find me a land. And this
look
is all...
That, look at that wisdom of knowing... Because a lot of our brothers and sisters are sitting there rebuilding something that is broken.
Yeah.
That to start fresh is better.
It's better, much better. So anyway, so this is all walking distance from the university. Okay? Because the university was the center for us, our activity. So anyway, so I found that I found a land that is suitable. How much is this land? It's about $200,000. With the building and so on, it will cost about $250,000. So, okay. Wallahi, huh? With my hand, I wrote a letter and made copies of it. And I went to Kuwait. And I started to pass this letter to my friends that I know are from rich families. So we want to start. This is a project that is not studied. There is no feasibility. There is no
just,
engineering,
just baraka.
No engineering plan, nothing. Huh? So I started to pass this to my friends, asking for donations. So I got the first donation, $50,000. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. But I still a lot short. And then a friend of mine who's from a very famous family, very rich family, came to me. He said, I have one of the members of my family. He wants to donate. but he has two conditions. I said, yes. He said, the first condition, he doesn't want anyone to know who he is.
Wow.
Okay. What's the second condition? He said, the second condition, he wants the whole project.
Allah.
You got the battle. You got 50.
So I told him, I already have 50. He said, use it for whatever you want. Use it for furniture, use it for whatever. But he'll build the whole thing for you.
Now you had the interval.
No, wait, there's a story. The story hasn't ended. It's even more than this. So we were very happy. We got the money. So we made the plan, inshallah. So we made the plan, and we took it to the municipality because you have to get the approval of the neighbors.
Oh, yes.
So they announced. On that day, all the neighbors came. And all the neighbors were against us.
Every one of
them. Everyone. We don't want a masjid here. And remember, this is Oklahoma.
Yeah, Oklahoma, the
which
first
is
masjid.
Trump people. Until today, yeah. So, my lawyer was so weak, so I asked to speak. So the five judges, so they allowed me to speak. Said, you cannot stop us from building a masjid. I was so strong on this. You are violating our constitutional rights. And I will take it to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So when we saw, when they heard this and they saw it, it was serious. The judge said, yes, it is unconstitutional to stop the masjid. So, does anyone have any reason to stop the masjid? So one of them raised his hand. Only one out of them. I said, there is not enough parking and they will create a parking issue and so on. Which was true. I mean, we needed 35 parking slots. We had 27. So we were missing 8. So they're already short of 8 and the area is already crowded and so on. So he said, the judge said, yes, you're correct. So I raised my hand again. I said, okay, approve the masjid with the condition of 8 more parking slots. If we don't get them, we will not build.
Allah.
So they approved it.
Subhanallah.
But I don't know how to do it. I don't have any more places to do the parking. But I just wanted to get the approval. You get the approval and then
you work around
you work on it. So I got the approval. Wallahi, so you know the barakah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I still was inside the courthouse. Just out of the room, inside the courthouse. And then two gentlemen approached me. Can we have a quick meeting with you? I said, yes, inside the courthouse. So we sat down. I said, we own the church just opposite to this land. And we want to sell it.
Wow.
I said, how much? They said, 250,000.
Exactly what you have.
I said, no, 200. So I bought it for 200.
Subhanallah. With religious place.
And then I bought the land that we were going to build the masjid with, 40,000, and made it into a parking lot.
Oh, wow.
And the story goes on even more than that. So we own this masjid, which was a church. And it was a Protestant church, so there was no idols and there was no fixed chairs. So it was ready for a masjid. Huh?
SubhanAllah.
So it was immediately enough for about 1,000 people instead of 80. Huh? So anyway, something else happened, and I will finish with this story. After all of this, we started, alhamdulillah, praying in this masjid. The university decided to expand. So they started to buy all the houses around this area. So they bought all the houses around the masjid. So the masjid became inside the university.
Allah.
So they started to negotiate with us. We want to buy it. We said no. And it's a prime land inside the university. And it is hindering their expansion plan. So we refused. So we got into a huge negotiation. And then they gave us an offer that we could not refuse. They gave us a school. A built school. Enough for 400 students. With an auditorium. And 4 soccer fields. And on a prime land in the city.
Baraka. Baraka.
So that is valued $2 million. So we took it, of course. And we built a huge masjid. So if you open today, Al Salam Masjid in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you'll see it. The pictures are there. So that is the story.
We'll put in the podcast, inshallah.
That is the story that started with a pencil.
Allah.
So you do anything, even a pencil,
never give up.
And see what will happen if you are sincere.
Allah barik.
Inshallah, we'll have other sections.
Yeah,
this is
episode number one.
Episode number one. We're absolutely blessed to have him. Inshallah, we're going to do episode number two undoubtedly. Inshallah, we're going to be here for another 5 days. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it. We will finalize this story. Jazakumullah khair.
Inshallah, we'll find some time. Thank you for having me. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please, guys, make sure you like, subscribe, and any questions you have for the Sheikh, inshallah, we'll pass them through to him. Please, brothers and sisters, it's very important to share, like, and comment because it grows the platform to get to all our Muslim brothers around the world. Alhamdulillah, we have reached the world. Inshallah, we're breaking new heights. Without your help, we can't do it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.